Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. This week, we're going to go ahead and move into the book of 2 Kings, and we're going to begin to talk about the story of Elisha. We're going to get into this week where you can say the mantle is passed from Elijah unto Elisha, and we're going to look at some things that we can learn in this story here regarding the passing of the mantle from Elijah, from the prophet Elijah, unto Elisha, who starts off as a servant unto Elijah and becomes a prophet afterwards. So let's go ahead and read our first passage here in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, "Now it happened, when Yahweh was about to take up Elijah by a whirlwind to heaven, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, 'Stay here, please, for Yahweh has sent me as far as Bethel.' But Elisha said, 'As Yahweh lives and as your soul lives, I will not forsake you.' So they went down to Bethel. Then the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, 'Do you know that Yahweh will take away your master from over you today?' And he said, 'Yes, I know. Be silent.'" So at this point, Elisha is serving Elijah. Okay, you could say he is walking and going wherever Elijah goes, serving Elijah with whatever Elijah needs. Okay, so Elijah is the one up until this point, the one you could say who is doing the work of the ministry, or you could say the one who is acting as the prophet, who is the one who is speaking forth the word of Yahweh, the one who is doing the works of Yahweh, the signs, the miracles, or the wonders of Yahweh. Elijah's the one doing the work, while Elisha is the one who is serving Elijah. And while he is serving Elijah, he is also learning from Elijah. He is being taught by Elijah. He is seeing what Elijah does. He is seeing how Elijah lives. And so Elijah is like a role model unto Elisha. So we as believers, we need not to despise the times that Elisha is in right now. Those times where we serve other people. Because it's in those time and in those periods where we are serving others that we're learning and that we begin the process of building character within our lives so that we can go on to be the one doing the work. And those who are working in the ministry as Elijah is should be on the lookout for your Elishas. And the point of having someone serve you isn't to lord over them, to think that you're too good to do certain tasks, but the context and the idea and the serving is for them to learn, to grow, and to build in the ministry so that one day they can do as you are doing. Because Elisha, as we can see here in this passage, he says that I will go wherever you go. I will not forsake you. So that is kind of like the number one concept behind the one who is serving his master, is that you will not forsake the one whom you are serving. You will not abandon them. You will not leave them. So Elisha says, I will not forsake you. I will not leave you as long as your soul lives, I will not leave you. I will be with you. Okay. Now, Elijah probably thinks at this moment that he's the only one to know of his coming departure. But as we see here, he is not the only one who knows of it. Elisha knows of it. Elisha knows that Elijah is going to be leaving soon. And he is positioning himself to do what he needs to do in order to, you could say, roll into Elijah's position, to do the work that Elijah is doing. Now let's look at Amos chapter 3 and verse 7. It says, surely Lord Yahweh does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his slaves, the prophets. So Yahweh does not do anything, act upon anything upon this earth, unless his prophets know about it first. So his prophets know his secret. So what we see here in this story, Elijah knew what was about to happen. He knew he was about to depart. Okay. The sons of the prophets there in Bethel knew that he was about to depart. And we also see later when we read here, the sons of the prophets in Jericho knew that he was about to depart. And we also see that Elisha knew what was about to happen as well. So those who are walking with Yahweh, those who are filled with his spirit, who have communion with him, who are serving him, okay, they know his secret counsel. They are aware of what Yahweh is doing in the earth today. He reveals his plans. He reveals his actions to his prophets. So there are those who have heard the word of Yahweh who know his secret counsel. So as we progress towards the end of time, we can rest assured to know that we can know his secret plans, the things that he has planned, those things which are to come. So when the rest of the world is in darkness, his people are walking in the light. When they are clueless to what is going on around them, and they're guessing, and they're trying to figure out what is going on, those who are walking in covenant with Yahweh will be in the light. They will have a full understanding of what is happening. Let's go on in our story here. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 4. And Elijah said to him, Elisha, please stay here, for Yahweh has sent me to Jericho. But he said, as Yahweh lives, and as your soul lives, I will not forsake you. So they came to Jericho. Then the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho approached Elisha and said to him, do you know that Yahweh will take away your master from over you today? And he answered, yes, I know. Be silent. So here a second time, Elijah has come to Jericho this time. And for a second time, he tells Elisha, please stay here, for I'm going to Jericho. But for the second time, Elisha responds and says, as your soul lives, I will not forsake you. Elisha desires something at this moment in time. He is seeking and desiring to have the mantle of Elijah, or you could say the anointing of Elijah. He knew that Elijah and the work that he was doing was not being done by the strength of Elijah, but that the Spirit of Yahweh was upon Elijah. He was anointed, and Elisha is seeking that anointing. He wants the Spirit of Yahweh to be upon him as it is upon Elijah. And actually, we're going to see that he's going to ask for a double portion, okay? So he is seeking for something. He desires something. And so because of that, Elisha is not going to give up, okay? He is going to pursue until he gets that which he desires. You could almost ask, is Yahweh testing Elisha in this moment to see how much Elisha desires to have the anointing that is upon Elijah and to what extent he is willing to go? If I make it difficult, will he push through? If he's only faced with one decision, okay, he passed one decision. But if he is told three times to stay here, is he going to continue to choose to serve Elijah until Elijah is gone? Or you can say, are you going to continue to serve the one I have called you to serve until it is your time? Or will you choose to seek and do your own thing on your timing when you want to do it instead of when it is Yahweh's timing? Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 6. Then Elijah said to him, please stay here, for Yahweh has sent me to the Jordan. And he said, as Yahweh lives, and as your soul lives, I will not forsake you. So the two of them went on. This is the third time that Elisha is faced with the decision to stay and not follow Elijah. But for the third time, Elisha chooses not to forsake Elijah. He is going to go wherever Elijah goes. I want to read what Paul says here in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. And let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Paul is encouraging us to not grow weary in doing good, because there is a time that will come when you will reap from doing that which is good. But as Paul is saying, do not lose heart in doing good. So we're not always going to get the immediate gratification, the immediate joy and blessing or benefit, you could say, of walking in obedience with God. Okay? Elisha did not get the immediate gratification of the anointing of Elijah just because he wanted it. He wanted it, but he had to persist in doing that which he needed to do in order to obtain the anointing. Three times he had to choose to follow Elijah. Had he grown weary in doing good, okay, had he grown weary in choosing to stick with Elijah, then he would not have received the anointing that Elijah had. So we have this fight against our flesh, which desires to do what is evil. It desires to draw us away from that which is righteous. And our flesh can draw on us and tend to pull us away and point to the fact, look, you've been doing that which is right, and what has changed? Because you haven't seen the immediate joy and blessing from walking in obedience. You haven't seen the promise that you have been given yet. So our flesh will come along and say, see, you're walking in obedience, but you haven't gotten the promise yet. You haven't seen the blessing yet. So our flesh will tempt us in that way. But we have to be able to stand against our flesh and be able to say, do not lose heart. Have patience, stand firm, because in due season, you will see the promise. In due season, you will see the blessings and the joy from doing that which is good. But you will not see the promise. You will not see the blessing and the joy if you grow tired. Let's look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 3. And not only this, but we also boast in our afflictions, knowing that affliction brings out perseverance, and perseverance proving character, and proving character hope. And hope does not put to shame, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given unto us. So Paul here is stating that we boast in our afflictions, or you could say we boast in our testing and in our trials, because in our testing and in our trials, it brings about perseverance. And Elisha choosing to stick with Elijah, it brought about perseverance. And that perseverance brought out proven character. And that proven character brought out hope. And because he had hope, he's not put to shame. He is not put to shame. So if we want to have hope, if we want to have the faith it takes to do what Elijah did, and to do as Elisha did, to fill in the role of Elijah, we have to be willing to go through the affliction so that we can have perseverance. And through that perseverance, we will be given a proven character that will have the hope or the expectation or the belief to see the promises of God, to see the blessings of God, and to see the joy of God at work in our lives. We have to be willing to boast in our afflictions. We have to be willing to not grow weary in doing that which is good. Elisha did not attain the anointing the first time. He had to persevere and keep following Elijah. He is trusted. He is tested first to see if he is trustworthy to receive the anointing that was upon Elijah. Now let's look at 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 7. Now 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood opposite them at a distance. But two of them stood by the Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and folded it together and struck the waters. And they were divided here and there, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. Now it happened when they crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." So let's look at what happened here on verse 8, first of all, because we're going to see here in a bit. Elijah takes his mantle and strikes the water, and it is divided. And they walk across the Jordan River on dry ground. Okay, we're going to see here in a bit this happen again. Okay, now, upon crossing over the river, over the Jordan River, three times Elijah has said to Elisha, "You stay here." But Elisha says, "No, I will not leave you." And Elisha continues to stick by the side of Elijah serving him. Okay? So upon Elisha sticking by him these three times, now Elijah looks to him and says, "What shall I do for you before I am taken from you? What is it that your soul desires?" And Elisha's response is, "Let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." So now we're seeing Elisha is beginning to reap the benefits of serving Elijah and choosing not to forsake Elijah and to not grow weary in the process of following after Elijah upon three times of being told, "You can stay here." No, he persevered through. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 10. And he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." So here we see, had Elisha not following after Elijah to be at the spot where he could see Elijah as he is taken from him, he would not have gotten what he was asking for. And even upon sticking with him and crossing over to Jordan, and Elijah looking to him saying, "What shall I do for you?" And Elisha tells him, he says, there's one more thing Elisha's still going to have to do. He's still going to have to see Elijah as he is taken away from him. So if you can do this one last thing, this one more thing, so still do not grow weary. Persevere. Keep going. It shall be so for you. Let's look at verse 11. As they were going along and talking, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and it separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind to heaven. And Elisha was seeing this, and he was crying out, "My father, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." And he saw Elijah no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He also took up the mantle from Elijah that fell from him, and he returned and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and struck the waters and said, "Where is Yahweh, the God of Elijah?" Indeed, he himself also struck the waters, and they were divided here and there, and Elisha crossed over. Why did Elisha have to keep his eyes on Elijah? What transpired as Elijah went up in the whirlwind to heaven? As he went up, the mantle of Elijah fell to the ground. So as Elisha kept his eyes on Elijah, he saw the mantle of Elijah fall. And then he was able to pick up the mantle of Elijah. The mantle itself was not what was important. It was what the mantle represented. It represented the spirit and the anointing that was upon Elijah. And because he kept his eyes, think about this, because he kept pursuing Elijah, not leaving him every time he was told he could stay, and because he kept his eyes on Elijah, even though there were chariots of fire that came, he was able to see the mantle of Elijah fall to the ground. And it was him picking up the mantle of Elijah, that he took that mantle of Elijah and he went to the waters of the Jordan and he struck the waters of the Jordan just as Elijah had done. And what does he say? Where is Yahweh, the God of Elijah? And he himself was able to walk across the Jordan because the waters of the Jordan were divided. We need to have the spirit of Elisha, the willingness to pursue and hold on to that which we are going after, to not give up, to persevere, and to keep our eyes upon the promise, the joys, and the blessings that come from walking in his obedience. We need to be willing to serve the Elijahs of the world. And we need to be willing to persevere and not grow weary so that when the mantle falls, we can pick up the mantles of Elijah and we can carry on the work of God on this earth. Well, hallelujah. We are so glad that you have joined us again this week for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week with another teaching. So come back now and shalom, y'all. Scripture quotations taken from LSB, Legacy Standard Bible, copyright 2021 by the Lockman Foundation, used by permission, all rights reserved, managed in partnership with 316 Publishing Incorporated, lsbible.org, and 316publishing.com.